It's a Swiss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha, we start a new Sefer, Parshas Bamidbar, and we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And this week also, since Shavuos is coming up so close, we're going to intertwine it with Shavuos, ask a couple of questions within Shavuos, and then come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in our very real way. Sefer Bamidbar. We know that each Sefer has its own unique name. Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzirah. It's the creation of the world, the creation of the Avos. The Ramban calls it Sefer HaYashar, the Avos going in the right path. We know that Shemos, the Ramban writes, is Sefer HaGe'ula, the time that Klal Yisrael is formed as a nation and they're able to leave. Vayikra is called Toros Kohanim. That's why we call it Leviticus, the idea of all the laws, the Tumah, the Tara, the ideas of the Kohanim. And then we get to Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, and the name of the Sefer is Sefer Pikudim, the Book of the Numbers. Question one. Why is it called the Book of the Numbers? What does that mean? What is so unique that it's called the Book of the Numbers? Furthermore, in this week's Parsha, we have all the different Shvatim, and we learn about their Degolim, their flags. What does a flag represent? That we'll call 1B. Question two. Bamidbar Rabbah, Aleph Aleph. The Medrash says, when Klal Yisrael got the Torah, and we're going to get the Torah on Shavuos, when Klal Yisrael got the Torah, they got the Torah with Eish, with Mayim, and Bamidbar. They got it with the fire, they got it with the water, and they got it in the Midbar itself. Now it could mean literally Eish, that they got the Anani HaKavod, the Mayim, that they had the Be'er, they got the water, and they were in the Midbar. But on a deeper sense, is there something deeper in this Medrash? And lastly, why is it always that Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, always comes before Shavuos? We know that we read last week, Bahar B'chukosai, the Gemara Megillah tells us in Daf Lamed Aleph that all the Tochacha happens, but it can't be right before Shavuos because it's too hard. It has to be a couple weeks before. But why specifically is Bamidbar right before Shavuos? So again, let's just chazer over the questions. Question number one is that Sefer Bamidbar is called Sefer Pikudim. Why is it called the Book of the Numbers? What is that idea? It's a strange name. I know there's counting of all the Shvatim, but why is that the whole theme? That's the whole theme of the whole Sefer. You know how many stories are in Sefer and Parshas in Sefer Bamidbar? And what are the Degolim? What is a flag? And you know, Levi doesn't even have a flag. So what's a flag about? Secondly, what is Medrash Eish, Mayim, and Midbar? And lastly, how does Shavuos connect to Bamidbar? So all the Yisoidis, which we always talk about, again, there's different Yisoidis. We talk about relationships, and we talk about how to better ourselves, and how to give ourselves confidence, and how to realize how much we're doing. It's all that one idea, about bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam into our lives, making it real. And it's hard. There are things that bring us down, and there are things that we struggle with, and we have ups, and we have downs. But it's all about that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I'll tell you an interesting story. I always love stories. When I was in college, I became very friendly with a professor. Right? I became friendly with him. I wanted to get a good grade. Right? That's why. But no, really, I became very friendly with him. And I was taking a class with him, a class on criminology. Criminology is about criminals. And it turns out that my grandfather, Rav Bamzer, Zachreinu Tzadik, Kodesh Lebrocha, Rav Bamzer, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was in YU for over 50 years, and he had a shul in Brooklyn, and tremendous speaker, and he was also the chaplain of Rikers Island. So I decided that I was going to take the whole class to Rikers Island. And we got a whole bus from YU, and we went to Rikers Island. And it was very interesting. It was very interesting. We're going to Rikers Island in jail. Happens to be some dudes there. And my grandfather was giving class. He told me that there's one guy that keeps on coming, going, and coming back because he likes the classes. Now, I remember the class that my grandfather gave in Rikers Island. He was talking about Bamidbar. And he was talking about how awesome it was. Now, it's interesting because I had this relationship with this teacher. And this teacher was not, you know, he was Jewish, but he didn't have so much to do with Torah. He never, you know, was never learned. He didn't go to school, and he never learned anything. And he said to me, you know, Bloom, right? Bloom, can you teach me some Torah? So on the one hand, I wanted to teach him Gemara, but I didn't think he was ready for it. But I said, you know what, maybe we're going to learn Chumash Rashi. So he's like, can I ask a couple questions? I'm like, sure. So we start talking. He's like, can we talk about the creation of the world? I'm like, yeah. Listen, God created the world in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. So he's like, can I ask a question? No, no questions. He's like, why can I ask questions? Because I'm like, no, no questions. Great. Further. Then he said, then we became a nation. We were in Egypt. We were supposed to be there for 400 years. We left 210. We had the mock, you know, you know about Passover. We had different Makos, and we went with the sea splitting. He's like, can I ask any questions? No questions. And then we're going further and further and further. And then finally I said, you know what? I'm going to teach you a Rashi. And it was amazing because when we got to Rikers Island, it was the exact Rashi that my grandfather was teaching. It was unbelievable. The Siyata Dishmaya. The exact, that week that I was learning with my teacher, who's never learned before, right? We take advantage because we learn all the time, Baruch Hashem. But it was the exact Rashi that my grandfather taught. And listen what this Rashi says, the first Rashi. And whoever didn't start Shnai Mikra yet, start now, Bamidbar. You have a new Sefer, a new beginning. Rashi says, and Bamidbar is jam-packed. There's so much to do. Rashi says something amazing. He says, why is Hashem counting us? Mitoch hibasan levas lefanav, because Hashem loves us. Monel sam, He counts us. Kol shah, all the time. Keshe yatzu mi Mitzrayim, when we leave Mitzrayim, mano, He counts us. Ukeshe naflu be'egel, even when we fell in the egel, manon, He counts us. Leida hanosrim, to know those who are still around. Why? Ukeshe bo lahashrot shchinasa aleihem. This is the game-changing Rashi. You know why it's a game-changing Rashi? Because this Rashi shows us Hashem loves us. Hashem counts us. Right? Why is it called the Book of the Numbers? Why is He counting us? It's not just about just a count, but it's a counting of Hashem showing His chibah, Hashem showing His love. You know, the Netziv, the great Netziv, Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. He lived in 1816 to 1893. He was the great Rosh Hashiva. He says, you know why it's called Sefer Pekudim? There are two specific countings. Again, the Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar for 40 years. This is the first year they're in the Midbar before they go into Eretz Yisrael. There are 38 years that we don't even know about. And then at the end is all the different stories. The stories with Korach and all the different stories of Klal Yisrael complaining and all the different things. That happens later on. He says, what are these two countings, says the Netziv. And the Netziv says that it's a transition. There are two different countings. The first counting is like what we just said, showing Hashem showing us that He loves us and He cares about us. And He's going to give us the mun. And He's going to give us all the special thing, and He's going to take care of us. Can you imagine, guys, that you didn't have to do your own laundry, right? You guys got to do your laundry. In yeshiva, you got to do your own laundry. All your food was prepared for you. Good food. Right? You thought about, right, the Chidah says, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azuloy, what bracha is the mun? Hamotzi lecha min ha shamayim. Amazing. Right? Everything was taken care of. Everything was amazing in the Midbar, even though we weren't in Eretz Yisrael. But then, says the Netziv, there was a transition going in. going into Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is so great and Eretz Yisrael is amazing. But at the same time, Eretz Yisrael is Nikneb Yisrim. It's not easy. As we know, we're here now and we love Eretz Yisrael and it's amazing. But it's not so easy. And Klal Yisrael was afraid. You know, those last couple years of the Midbar, they were nervous because they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Says the Netziv. They were nervous. They were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And guess what? They were going to have to work hard. And since they were going to have to work hard, therefore they got nervous. And that's why all the problems started. What's this idea of Eish, Mayim, and Midbar? So I once heard from the great Rav Asher Weiss, one of the Gedolim in Ramot. He says, you know what Eish represents? Eish represents godless ha'adam. A person realizes that you have fire. Fire rises. Fire is great. I remember I had this chus. I spoke in Eish HaTorah a couple of times, and I told this. I said this over in Eish HaTorah, right? I was saying Eish, right? Eish represents the idea of fire, the idea of accomplishment, that I can do whatever I want as long as I set my mind. Sometimes we don't set our minds to it. We give up. We say, nah, can I accomplish? I don't know. But Eish says, no. I can do what I want as long as I put my mind to it. What is Midbar? So last year, the Rosh Hashiva revised this and said, you know what Midbar is? Midbar is a place where you just have tranquility. You look back and you think back. And you could just look out into the beautiful views and you see this beautiful world, Marabu Masecha Hashem, and you take back and you take it in. That's Midbar. But what's Mayim? Mayim is shiftless. Mayim is humility. That after a person accomplishes, after a person does so much, he gets to that level, but he realizes it's not just me. The minute a person thinks it's him, then we're going to run into problems. Because guess what? At any second, God can do whatever he wants. He can take it away from you. But a person says, shiftless. God, look how much you've given me. And you reach out to him. One of my good friends, Rav Itiel Golvich, he told me a beautiful word. He says, you know, Klal Yisrael is referred to stars, and at the same time, they're referred to sand. So which one is it? Are we referred to stars or sand? So stars, we know stars, even though it's so far away and they look so small, they're huge. They're huge. Each of us is a star. Each of us has individuality. Each of us is so precious. But at the same time, we're part of a community. If you go to a beach, obviously a kosher beach, but if you go to a beach, if you have one little grain of sand, that's not a beach. You need a lot of grains of sand. You need a lot of things. You put a lot of sand together and you create a great beach. You need the individuality and the community. And that's what we're doing. Comes along the Netziv again. And he says, what's a degel? What's a degel? What's a flag? A flag represents, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Parag Ches Halacha Aleph, Kavod Tiferes. You know why a person has a flag? The Pasuk tells me in Paragimel Pasuk Hey, Vishamru and Mishmarti, says the Gemara in Erechin, the Levim, they would sing, they would praise Hashem. You know what a flag represents? Showing the banner, showing who we are, what are we about. We're proud of ourselves. You know why the Shvatim had different flags? Each flag represented who they are. What was their unique quality? That's what a flag is. And we're all part of a team. Because you put all the Shvatim together, they're all part of a team. And who's in the middle of that flag? Who's in the middle of all the flags together? Levi. Who's Levi? What does Levi represent? Levi represents the Torah. Because we are united by one thing. We are united by the Torah. There's nothing throughout the years. We've gone, history is crazy. If you look back, the Jewish nation is a miracle, right? Yaakov Shreki's song, I'm not going to sing it because I don't know it, but we are a miracle, right? We're a miracle. Why are we a miracle? It doesn't make sense. They keep on, imagine, not so long ago, they try to wipe us out of the Holocaust, and they try to wipe us out all throughout the years, the pogroms, the crusades, everything. And we're still here. Why are we still here? Because we have the Ribbono Shel Olam with us. And the Ribbono Shel Olam told us, And he keeps on telling us, Mechadish b'tuva b'chol yom tamid, I'm going to give you one thing that's going to unite you. I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm going to give you the Torah shebichsav, and I'm going to give you the Torah shebalpeh. You know, there's an amazing Gemara in Zvachim, and Daf Kuf Tezvav. There's a loud noise, a loud boom. And the nations of the world are getting so scared. And they turn to Bilam, and they say, Bilam, what's that noise? Maybe it's a hurricane. Maybe it's a flood. Maybe it's a fire. And he said, I don't know what it is. And then the Gemara says, no, you know what it is? It is the Torah. Klal Yisrael getting the Torah. Klal Yisrael uniting. Hashem owes Lamo Yitain. Right? The end of the Gemara in Tainus. Right? When you dance around in a circle, every single person is in the same distance. Hashem owes Lamo Yitain because we are united with the Torah. There's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says in Pesachim that Rav Yosef, if we didn't have Chag HaShavuos, there would be so many Rav Yosefs Bashuka. What does that mean? If we didn't have Chag HaShavuos, there would be so many Yosefs Bashuka. What's that question? The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel. Furthermore, why are we reading Rus? Why are we reading Rus on Shavuos? So a lot of times people fall asleep in Rus because they're so tired. But we read Rus, right? Why are we reading Rus? So one answer, which you might know, is that David HaMelech came out from Rus. And since David HaMelech came out from Rus, so it's David HaMelech's gear site. And we know Rus was a tznua. But the Vilna Gaon says something amazing. Listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says that, you know, we have that whole story that with Yaakov getting the brachas, taking the brachas from Esau, not taking, these were his brachas. And what does it say? Hakol kol Yaakov ha'idayim yidei Esau. If you look, says it, if you look closely in the pasuk, it says kol kol. Kol one time with a vav, kol one time without a vav. Ask the great Vilna Gaon, why is that? Why one time with the vav and one time without a vav? Says the Vilna Gaon, ready? Great Vilna Gaon. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when was Moshe Rabbeinu born? Zayin Adar. When was Moshe Rabbeinu nifter? His yahrzeit, Zayin Adar. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born 3 months early. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu born 3 months early? Because we were afraid they were going to catch him, whatever. Really, when should be Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday? Zayin Sivan. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday should have been Zayin Sivan. When Zayin Sivan? Shavuos. Why is that? Why is that? Because Shavuos is the idea of Torah. Kol with the vav. Zichri Torah Moshe Avdi. Zichri Torah Moshe Avdi. What's the other kol, says the Vilna Gaon? Kol without a vav. What's kol without a vav? Tefillah. Tefillah is hard. Gemara says in Brachos, tefillah is hard. The person reaches out and says, God, I need your help. It's like we were speaking about before, shiftless. God, there's so many things that I want. There's so many things. I want a relationship. I want my Torah to be real to me. I want to have a better relationship with my parents. I want to have a better relationship with my spouse. I want to have a better relationship with my children. I want to have a better relationship with you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to get close to the Torah. I want to get better at my learning. All of these things is where a person reaches out, his shiftless, realizing it's not up to him. It's up to God. And who is the person of tefillah? Obviously, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah created tefillah. But who is it? David HaMelech. David HaMelech created Tehillim. All the halukas we say in the morning. David HaMelech. So the Kol Kol Yaakov, the Torah, is Moshe and David. Who came out of Rus? David HaMelech. David HaMelech came out of Rus. Under his breath, Josh said, yeah, Zayin Adar, but guess what? We keep Vav Sivan. We keep the first, right? Josh Bumpkin, right? We keep Vav Sivan. So, but let me ask you a question. What happened on Vav Sivan? Moshe Rabbeinu came down and the Luchos were broken. We're keeping the Torah when the Luchos were broken. Moshe Rabbeinu went back up and he got new Luchos when? On Yom Kippur. So Vav Sivan is the time that we have broken Luchos?
What? What is that about? So the answer is like this. The answer is that even though the luchos were broken, Hashem says still to us, even through your struggles, and even though it's all about the working hard. It's all about making Torah real and working hard. And even if the luchos are broken, it's about putting the effort in. If you want simcha in your life, you want happiness, there's only one way to do it. It's working hard. Anyone, like we spoke about last week, there are a lot of people that are happy in this world. You know why they're happy? You know what happiness represents? Trying. Working hard. If you don't try, you're not going to accomplish. But guess what? It's not always up to us. It's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rus was a person that didn't give up. She said, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to stop. And she didn't give up. That's why on Shavuos, the time that we have the Torah, the time that we have a minute to stay up all night, because we want Torah to be part of our lives. That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter what you do in life. Hopefully, you know, you'll have your parnasa, and you'll be matzliach, and you might finance your family. But there's one idea. Because after Me'eva Esrim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to turn to you and say, was Torah part of your life? Was the Torah mitzvahs part of your life? Was the relationship with me part of your life? And that's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing now. Just to end with the following story. I don't think I ever told this story before. It's an awesome story. I've told it, but I don't think I ever told it here before. I heard this story from one of my rabbis, Reb Brizak. I actually heard it also from the great Charlie Harari. He's awesome, right? So the story's like this. I actually told this story once over my grandfather, Reb Amzer Zatzal's yurtzeit. I once told over this story. Give a shout out to my Uncle G. Right, he told me he loved the story. Good shout out to my parents. My parents always listen. It's always about the shout outs, right? Once you say a shout out, everyone listens to the shout outs, right? So give a shout out to my parents who are here now for Shavuos, and they've given so much. We had a beautiful bar mitzvah with my sister, Ayelet and Uri, beautiful. And beautiful bar mitzvah with Yonatan. But listen to this awesome story. Charlie Harari was interviewing a guy. Maybe you guys heard this story before. And he was like ripped. You know, he looked a little like me, Baruch Hashem. And he was, I don't know why he's laughing. So, but whatever. He was ripped. He was like one of those like classic like 6'8 guys that, you know, he was there. And Charlie asked him, he said, you know, you were a football player. Was there a turning point in your career that you were able to step up your game? He was an excellent college football player. So he told him the following story. He said, listen, I was that All-American guy. I was drafted. Everyone wanted me. And, you know, high school, I was great. I get to college, and I'm terrible. I'm just terrible. I can't get anything done. Nothing's working for me. The coach doesn't know what to do. He's going to bench me. He's like, how do we get this scrub? You know, like, what's going to be? The coach saw something on the internet, something called the death crawl. I don't know if you guys know what the death crawl is. The death crawl is basically that you get on the floor and you have to move your body without moving your body. You have to use all your inner strength without like using your legs or your arms. And the coach had an idea for me. He's like, this guy just can't perform. He's huge. I need him to perform. I need him to do. So I'm going to try something that maybe will be a game-changing break, a breakthrough, right? A breakthrough that will change him. He calls Johnny, and he says, Johnny, get to the floor. Get down. Johnny's like, what? He's like, get down. I'm putting a blindfold on you. And the little running back over there, little Billy, you're going on top of Johnny. Johnny's like, what are you talking about, coach? Like, you want me to mess you up, coach? No, obviously he didn't say that because then he'd bench me. So he's like, what are you talking about? What do you want? He's like, I want you to get to the 20-yard line doing the death crawl. You have to use all your inner strength to get to that 20-yard line. Johnny's looking at the coach like, what? You think I could do that with someone on my back? Puts on the blindfold and he says, go for it. He's going and he's going and he hits the 5-yard line. He's screaming. He's screaming in pain and he's saying, I can't do it. He hits the 10-yard line and he's screaming and he can't do it. He's like, "Coach, I can do it." And the whole team is like cheering him on. "You can do it, Johnny. You can cheer. You can do it. You can do it." He gets to the 15-yard line, and he's like, "I can't." He's about to drop down. He's like, "You're not there yet," but he had no clue where he was. He hits the 20-yard line. He's like, "Coach, I can't do it." They're like, the whole team is cheering him on. "You can do it. Keep on going. Keep on going." He gets to the 30-yard line. And the coach says, "Go, Johnny. Just go. Stop. Just go." He has no clue where he is. Finally, at the 45-yard line, he drops down, takes off the blindfold, and he's at the 45-yard line. He says, "How in the world did I do that?" You know how he did it? Because he didn't give up. All these people, the Rus, all these people, that's what we're about. We're people that don't give up. We're Jews. We have the Torah. We have the Ribbono Shel. We don't give up. That's what we're about. If you want to make it in your life, we want to have that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't give up. So let's just go over, just make sure we have the questions. It's called Sefer Bekudim, as we said, that story, because Hashem loves us. That's why He counts us, because He loves us. The Netziv says there are two types of counting, a transition. The first counting is being in the Midbar, where God's giving us everything, and then going to Eretz Yisrael, which is hard, and fighting it through. Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. Eish represents the confidence that we could take our challenges and do it. And Mayim represents the idea of shiflus, realizing humility. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest anav, the greatest, the most humble person in the world, but at the same time, realizing that he's an eved to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And David HaMelech, tefillah. And why is shvuas and Bamidbar? Because of this idea. Because shvuas represents the idea of accepting the Torah, making the Torah part of your life, pushing, don't give up. And although there the luchos were broken, still Hashem said, "I'm still there with you." Be'ezus Hashem, we all should have an amazing, amazing shvuas. Nase v'nishma, kof aleihem har kegigis. Everyone should take Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, and Be'ezus Hashem, everyone should have an amazing Shabbos.